This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
And Nikki.
And you can call that number with whatever's on your mind. It doesn't have to be on topic. Just whatever you want to hear us talk about or discuss with us. It's up to you. So now we're talking about this story from AP News. It's apnews.com. That says, populist Javier Milei is rallying for the Argentine presidency with chainsaws and Comic Con costumes. It says, Batman and the Joker, a man decked out in a full-body lion costume, and another whose head and arms have been replaced by chainsaws. Head and arms, wow. This isn't Carnival or Comic Con, but rather the outlandish campaign rally for Argentine presidential candidate Javier Milei. And I'm seeing this picture showing of a man in kind of like a onesie with soft shoes that are the same color as his onesie and gloves that are the same color as his onesie and a really creepy lion head costume. It kind of looks like a mangy ginger man with the face of a lion. And it's so ugly. But it says, a supporter of Javier Milei is dressed as a lion outside his campaign headquarters.
Oh, so these are his supporters.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know what it has to do with him yet.
Yeah.
So he's outside Javier Milei's campaign headquarters after polls closed for general elections in Buenos Aires, Argentina, on Sunday, October 22nd. And then this is a really creepy-looking Batman. It just looks angry. It says, a supporter of presidential hopeful Javier Milei wears a Batman costume outside Milei's campaign headquarters after polls closed for general elections.
So he was wearing the Batman costume, or again, somebody else?
Yep, a supporter of
him. A supporter, okay.
In just a few short years, the right-wing populist Milei went from being a television talking head who garnered high ratings with his unrestrained outbursts against the political caste he blamed for Argentina's perennial economic woes to a front-runner for the presidency.
They said unexplained outbursts?
Oh, no, so
that was
unrestrained,
the word?
I might
unrestrained. Said. No, I think I misheard you. I was about to say, I mean,
explained,
I mean, you know.
It says it's explained by the fact, if people don't know, that Argentina's economic woes are really bad. Their currency is inflating by the hour.
Yeah.
Like, people
it's
are changing.
Worse than it is here.
Yep, they're in hyperinflation. People are changing prices in the stores, like, hourly or less.
Yeah. I hate when they, try to paint this guy as, like, a psycho.
Yeah.
When
really,
when they do, and it's like, no, there are, like, crazy problems here, and you'd be insane to not be angry about it, you know what I mean?
Right. And that's why it's kind of fun to read these articles, because they're heavily...
Oh, yeah.
Propaganda, I mean, I'm trying to say it. They're heavily weighed against him. I can't think of the word.
Yeah, they're biased.
Biased against him. And it always tries, like, this is kind of a fun thing. I think it's cute and fun that people are dressing up.
Yeah, who cares?
To do this. But it's not like they said, isn't that crazy? But
yeah.
You just get the idea that that's what they're saying.
You get the vibe of it. And it's like, if certain people were to read this, they'd be like, wow, they sound insane. Like, this sounds like, you know, a furry convention
or whatever.
You know?
And what I was going to say is, like, if a lot of people are dressing up to support him, like, they chose this raggedy, lion guy and this really angry, creepy-looking Batman.
Like, yeah, they're like choosing the worst ones right. to take pictures of it.
The Batman, he looks like he's mid-sentence, like his mouth is all scrunched up, like he's like kind of about to talk, and it's like they probably took like 30 pictures
and they chose the worst one. Yeah. They did this before with another article we read about him, where it was just talking about like some of his like campaign promises or whatever. And they probably like picked some of the more outlandish ones. To me, they weren't outlandish. Like, to me, it was like, yeah, that's just, you know, that makes sense.
His supporters' quotes or something?
No. It was, like what he was promising for, like if he got elected and it was, or some of the things he believes in rather. So like, I forget what it was, like something about like black market organ trade, like being able to sell your organ. Like there was just like,
But like they skip right over all the probably way more like normaler things. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And they go straight for like the crazy stuff.
And the chainsaw.
Even the crazy stuff. I was like, no, I'm on board with that. Like I don't care.
It says that he, as in Javier, even dabbled in cosplay, dressing up as General ANCAP. Short for anarcho-capitalist, at a 2019
awesome.
Event. That is awesome.
Oh, but again, so that's, like, irrelevant, because they're like, oh, he dabbled in cosplay himself 4 years ago?
Yeah,
from true. 2019, so it's like they're... It's,
I wonder if
it's not
had
even
to do with his campaign.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he's not dressed up now, so, like, kind of why would they mention it? I mean, I think it's cool because I think Captain ANCAP is, like, a really, really dope costume.
I would
like,
love more.
That's awesome.
I would love more opportunities for dressing up.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't just be Halloween.
I know.
Love dressing up as, like, costumes. This year I didn't really do anything like that. I just put on alien.
Yeah.
Headband.
But even stuff like people will do like the 1920s, like the Roaring Twenties parties and stuff like that. Like
yeah.
decade, like dress up like the decades and, you know, different stuff like that. So
I have a small house or else I would totally do stuff like that. Like have just a themed party. That would be fun. But I was actually in 1920s last Halloween and that was a really fun costume. I had like a long fake cigarette that lit up. Anyways, we're just talking about costumes at this point, but continuing on with the article, it says just as his candidacy started as a made-for-television spectacle, what?
See, this is the thing, like, they're just, and then how they were talking about his hair?
Yeah. Right.
There were so many articles talking about his hair, and it's like,
it is
this
ugly.
Guy is, but it's like, this guy is saying some really intelligent things, like, he is, you know, like, he's like making some really important statements, I think.
Right.
But they don't want you to listen to his statements. You know what I mean? Like this is how the you know, the controllers of the world, like this is how they work. They're like, no, don't let like this guy. They're like, oh no, like they can't listen to this guy because if the average person listens to this guy and actually like digests what he says and they're like, no, he's right. Like there's going to be outrage. There's going to be an uproar. He's going to win.
Yeah.
So they have to be like, look at his hair.
Oh my God.
Oh, look, he dressed up in a costume 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Look at this guy at a rally. That's not even him. You know, his supporters are dressing like Batman and the Cowardly Lion or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's, they have to do all of these superficial, distracting things. They have to try to, you know, they're making negative comments about him, trying to make him seem like he's crazy. So people will not have, like, there won't be as much weight in what he's saying.
I totally agree. And I think a lot of people are waking up to what the mainstream media does and how they are. But a lot of people who have never firsthand been the target of the it,
mm-hmm.
We'll just never see it. Like,
a lot of people don't care. I mean, I would say
they have no reason to care. It's never affected them.
You know? I would say the most people that I encounter, especially people that are our age, they're not really interested in anything that is happening. They're not really interested in like researching things and like actually learning things. They're more interested in going on TikTok. They're more interested in like
entertainment,
things that are funny, you know, they want to be distracted, and it's all they know, and they have very short attention spans.
And it's like, I'm not trying to say that people who want to be entertained at all are just bad. Like, I watch Sam and Colby videos every single night. I like to be entertained. I just don't understand that being, like, the point
it
of your
needs
whole
to be
life.
A balance.
You'd be so depressed.
Right? And that's my thing too. Like, I've been watching this, like, clips of this podcast. It's called Your Mom's House. Hmm. And they're comedians. And it's totally, like, really dumb, like, raunchy comedy. There's nothing to be learned from it.
Yeah.
But for me, it's, like, a nice palate cleanser. It's, like, you know, it's nice to have something like that every once in a while. And, yeah, like, of course, like, we're not saying you're a bad person if you like to watch reality TV or if you like to watch football or whatever. But I think when people, like, that's all they can consume. And if you try, like, having, like, going to a high school party and try having, like, a deep conversation with somebody about, like, current happenings in the world or even a college party, right?
Say, even, like, people who are, like, in their early 20s.
Yeah, like, people in their early 20s, like, whatever, like, try to go into a party like that. Or even your family Christmas party, like, whatever. Any, you know, go to any social situation, try to say something of value or, like, you know, like, have a real deep, meaningful conversation. And people are, like, offended by it. It's like, why would you say that? Like, this is not an appropriate time to have a conversation like that. Like, people
right. Anything
don't...
Anything is labeled political. But I will say that our generation, I guess technically some people like to say I'm a millennial, and I reject that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
But our people are...
Whoever,
age,
people in their 20s, 30s.
They, I will say that I think they're a lot better at questioning the norms in a social kind of way. And also, more open to spirituality. Like, I could easily find someone around my age or younger who wants to talk about, like, consciousness and spirituality, meditation, things like that. But
I'm
not an older person.
So, but I'm making an assumption, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm making an assumption based on, like, so, like, the people I hung out with in high school, like, the people that I'm friends with, like, yeah, they were, like, dropping acid, doing mushrooms, like, doing things to, like, expand their consciousness. So if we were having a party, it's like, yeah, you can go in and start talking about Bigfoot, aliens, you know, the Illuminati, like, whatever, insert crazy conspiracy theory here, and it would be well received, right? And we would have a conversation about it. But based on other people that I interact with, like, I'm thinking about, like, the younger people at my job, just, like, other people I interact with that are, like, either in high school, college level, or even, like, yeah, in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, a lot of people aren't ready for those kind of conversations.
Hmm.
And I think that might be the majority. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully things are kind of turning and people are starting to be, like, more receptive of more, like, something deeper than small talk, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
I just think that our generation is doing better than, like, Gen X and older. That's all I really meant by it. But
yeah, you're right. And I think there's more access to information now. So mm-hmm. even, like, TikTok, like...
TikTok will have, like, really viral conspiracy videos sometimes.
So, like, it depends, like, what your feed is. Like, you know, it might be, like, brainless, like, girls dancing or whatever. Or it could be, like, I've seen some people's TikTok feed be, like, really political, where it's like, wow, I can't believe, like, somebody's saying that on TikTok.
Right.
Or conspiracy theories or, you know, so, like, depending on what your interests are, like, there are some really, like, you know, different levels of information on TikTok. And I think that kind of, like, the access to information and, like, being a kid, you know, a lot of kids these days, like, their entire lives, they've had access to smartphones, mm-hmm. tablets, the internet. So they've always had all of this information at the tips of their fingers, and they can,
and
you know.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, like, I think it's good and bad.
I think it's bad to be raised as anytime you're sitting there, well, I can't have you screaming, so you're going to get the tablet.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, like,
that's terrible.
Yeah, but I think the result of that, they have fallen down a lot of these rabbit holes, and they have learned a lot of different things that, like, kids weren't learning in the 80s because they, like, didn't even have access to that sort of information, you know what I mean?
But I would just say, I'm about to make a call, but I would just say, even among people my age who would be really interested in things like spirituality, like, you can start a conversation with them about something like meditation, mm-hmm. just really simple. I still feel like if something is quote-unquote political to them, they're going to suddenly not want to talk about it. Or
yeah, they don't care about the economy.
Yeah, exactly. So, going to your phone calls and thoughts, we have Creighton in Kentucky. Creighton, what's on your mind?
Ladies, you guys are really being kind of deep tonight. I didn't call to be have a deep conversation. I jumped onto the cam feed right about 8 o'clock, and in the past, if you have seen one of these other shows that you guys record in advance and then play, I'll just see an empty studio.
Mm-hmm.
And for a moment, I thought, you know, did this happen again? Did I get Rickrolled? And then it occurred to me that you guys could actually say anything you want. And then on the cam video, if you wanted to, you could just put the video for Rick Martin's Never Gonna Give You Up. It's running the loop.
Hey, this is a deep conversation.
Yeah, we totally could if we wanted to.
It's funny because Captain has actually been thinking up what we could do to have something instead of just empty chairs.
Something, yeah, like a more interesting graphic. Yeah, I know for like Porkfest, like I can see Mark Edge right over mm-hmm. there, his picture. They would like tape him to the chairs. That was pretty funny, but yeah. We could get more creative with it. I also took my
porcupine. It's a
yeah. I saw
porcupine.
That the other day. Oh. I really enjoyed that actually.
I put him sitting on the chair, making it look like he's talking into the microphone.
Yeah, it was cute.
That was really cute.
Or like sometimes Coconut will be over there.
Yeah, that's the best ones. That's my dog.
One of those mannequin heads was just the shoulder and the head, and put a beard onto it.
We have a beard actually.
Live.
Yeah, we could.
Well, is that all you have for us today, Creighton?
That's all I want to say.
Thank you so much for your call. I'm going to move on to Tim in Florida. Tim, what's on your mind?
Oh, I got a lot on my mind. Good evening. I bought a Bible from Goodwill. I bought an authorized King James Version Bible from Goodwill. And I've got a little mystery because, you know, when you buy a book, especially a Bible from Goodwill, people have marked it up in many cases. So this one looks like it has some history to it. And on Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, they put a bracket around it in blue ink. And it's got a date. And it says 7/30/... It's either 69 or 67, but I'm pretty sure it's 69. And it says Roy right next to that.
So what are the verses there?
It says... thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that and he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And I don't know why they put that date. So was this person born on that date?
Yeah, maybe that's kind of the first thing that came to my mind was maybe... He was
now,
born
if
on
he
that
got
day.
Born on that date, is whoever wrote it there, was it him?
7/30/1969 was like, what, a week before the moon landing, too?
And a few weeks before Woodstock, right?
Yeah, Woodstock was in August, like I believe.
So was this a hippie Bible, or is it not that old?
I just can't think of what that date has to do with those verses. Like, I really wanted it to be something where it sparked something, but it really didn't. But I think that sounds like a fun pastime to go buy a Bible, specifically a Bible, from a used bookstore and see what other people have written in it, like, see their insights.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
I mean, I never really, like, think about that. I buy a lot of used books, but you don't really think about, like, wow, somebody else is reading this book, and, like, what is the history of this book? Like, how many hands has it been through? Where were they when they were reading it? Like, all sorts of stuff like that. And I think, you know, especially where, like, a Bible, you know, most books, right, you read it once, maybe twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then either it sits on a bookshelf or you pass it along to somebody else. But a Bible can be a very intimate thing for families.
That people read over and over.
Yeah, they read it. Some people read from their Bible every single night. And it has, probably like the deepest significance for a lot of people of faith than like any other book would, right? So like the pages that they're rereading over again, like the verses that are really calling to them, in any sort of like dog ears or notes that like people are specifically making in Bibles. I mean, it's just like a very interesting thing, like the history of like having an older book and just thinking of the history of it.
And that's one thing I like about Kindle is you're not holding on the exact book that somebody else read, but if you've ever noticed, there will be some that say, it'll be highlighted for you, and it'll say, so-and-so number of people highlighted this.
Yeah, yeah, you can turn that feature on, yeah.
And I love that. But there's always really cool
things. Yeah, it's just nice to know, like, what jumped out to other people.
Yeah, sometimes it's something that I totally would also have highlighted if I was, like, highlighting things.
Or it's random and you're like, why did 5,000 people highlight this?
Right, sometimes I don't understand it.
Well, someone actually highlighted this as well. And they put pink highlights in Genesis. And this was before I noticed the date in the blue brackets.
So did
this
you
was
say,
pink highlight.
Did
and I'm not going to read it all to you. I'm not going to read it all to you because I know this isn't a Bible show, but every verse they highlighted in pink, it's like all the verses Rastafarians use to justify smoking weed.
Oh,
yeah, that's about like the grass, the herb.
So maybe it was a hippie Bible.
Yeah,
because you said that you were like, okay, it's like right before Woodstock.
That definitely points to a hippie Bible.
Kind of funny. It also could be a coincidence. That could be just something that you're drawing from it, and maybe the person that did it, like, they weren't of the same, like, they weren't thinking the same thing as you, or maybe they were.
Sure, sure.
Did you say that it said Roy next to it, like a name?
Roy, yeah, the name was Roy. Not. I don't think it's the Roy from Rick and Morty when he plays the game and he works at the carpet store.
Oh.
Could be, though.
The second wife. Well, thank you so much for the call. Did you have anything else?
I just wanted to mention one last thing, if you'll let me mention one last thing.
Go ahead.
About 11 years ago, I was listening to Free Talk Live, and Ian turned me on over the radio, obviously, and indirectly, to John Watts Music. I don't have the website, but indirectly. You can find him on Bandcamp, but he's a Quaker. He was a Quaker. I'm not sure if he's still alive. And I've been listening to his music for the last couple of days.
John Watts?
John Watts, and I was thinking a lot about Ian when I was listening to it.
Oh, nice. I'll have to ask him about it, ask him what kind of songs he likes from them. Thank you so much for the call, Tim. Very interesting. That sounds like a fun pastime. I have a Bible in my room right next to my bed, and sometimes I like to just open it up and see what the Spirit has my hands open to. Like, I just open it.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's sometimes really fun. Sometimes I'm like,
I've heard of other people doing that too, where they'll just like open the Bible to a random page, or like I'll do that. Like, I had like a guided meditation book that I would use to like help me teach yoga classes. So when I'm doing like the guided meditation at the end, sometimes it's just like, oh, I want to read someone, you know, whatever. So I would like open it to a random page, and it always seemed to be very fitting.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like, it was like the book knows what we need right now. So, like, I'm going to refer to the book, and the book will, you know, give us whatever meditation that my students are needing, like, based on the energy in the room.
That's awesome. It's just like the Bible and the book that you're talking about, we're just acting as kind of a medium, conduit, a tool for Spirit to use to have a conversation with you, and I love that.
It's cool.
603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. President Biden and Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping are in Northern California, with Biden opening the talks by speaking directly to the Chinese leader.
I've never doubted what you've told me in terms of your candid nature in which you speak. I value our conversation because I think it's paramount that you and I understand each other clearly, leader to leader.
In a hypothetical 2024 presidential election, former President Donald Trump would defeat California Governor Gavin Newsom, as according to Stack Data Strategies projections, the latest projection indicates Trump winning the Electoral College against Biden, who would secure the popular vote. Lawmakers are questioning Apple about the cancellation of Jon Stewart's show, inquiring if China played a role. A House committee has written to Apple CEO Tim Cook on whether Apple TV Plus decisions are influenced by China. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do. Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Call in with whatever is on your mind. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
And Nikki.
And we had some interesting calls the last segment, but right now we don't have any calls, so if you have anything on your mind, just call right in. We're going to get back into talking about this article from APnews.com. Populist Javier Milei is rallying for the Argentine presidency with chainsaws and Comic-Con costumes. Now, I know the name Javier. I've known many people with that name growing up in Texas, like in my high school and stuff. But every time I see it, my brain almost says and I'm like,
yeah.
Every single time. I don't think you guys know how hard it is. I haven't, like, talked to someone with that name in a really long time,
yeah.
And I see it, I'm always almost saying jaw, but I never
English did. Is your first language,
right.
And you're reading it,
right.
So it's like...
And kind of, like, mindlessly reading it in a way, too. Like, sometimes that sounds crazy, but I'm more mindlessly reading things on the air than I am, like, if I was reading it myself. I don't know, just, like, focusing on how I'm saying it, I guess.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
So we were talking already about the beginning of this article said that a lot of his supporters are dressing up kind of Comic-Con style. I forget what you call that right now.
Cosplay?
Cosplay style for his campaign rallies. it showed a picture of a guy in a mangy-looking onesie dressed as a lion. It's terrible. Like, you said Cowardly Lion. It's just like that, except it's, like, way lower quality, like Walmart
Cowardly
Lion.
Yeah, it kind of looks, like, scary.
Yeah, it is a little scary. And then it showed a guy in a Batman costume. He actually looks like he's probably really handsome, but you can't really see him all the way. He has, like, angular jaw, green eyes. You can see his dark eyelashes, too. But he looks a little scary because he looks like he's making an angry face, but yeah. It also looks like he's mid-talking. So we're talking. I'm bringing that up only to say we were talking last segment, and Nikki was talking about how they always want to make him look bad. Like, everything we've ever read about Javier Milei in the news, he's the, for people that don't know, if you've just tuned in, he is the libertarian presidential, or the...
what do they call it? It's he calls himself something else, right?
Populist?
Yeah, populist.
So, it's like, they call him that, but it's not the name of his party. Neither is libertarian. Like, it's like the equivalent of libertarian.
But he's, he dressed up as Captain ANCAP, right. So clearly he's, at the very least, an ANCAP.
And that's
which is, I would say, a sect of libertarianism.
I think they're just calling him a populist without him saying, like, oh, I'm a populist.
Yeah, it's not, like, what he's...
Exactly. I've never seen him self-identify that way, and every single article identifies him that way. I think the reason is because they always call Trump that, slash Trump calls himself that. They just want you to associate him as Trump.
Yeah, they're calling him right-wing and stuff.
Right.
So, I really don't like labels for this reason, because it will group entire, like, it just groups people together, even, and it kind of makes you think, like, in America, they do this law where it's, like, right and left. And, like, mm-hmm. that's it. So it's, like, right. if you believe in this, you're a leftist. If you believe in this, you're a right-winger. And, like, that's all there is. Right? So it's, like, it just... So now, like, well, we're grouping two halves of the population. Like, we're grouping every single person together into, like, under this one, you know, label that doesn't even actually mean anything.
Yeah, like, growing up, I would definitely think there is only right and left thinking. And then...
Yeah, well, it's a very, you know, it's a duopoly. Like, it's a very simplistic way of thinking, and I see people do it all the time. And that's a big reason why I don't really like labels, mm-hmm. especially popular labels, because it's just like, so we're calling him a populist, you're going to make all of these assumptions about him mm-hmm. before even listening to what he has to say. And this man is incredibly intelligent. He has a lot of really based things to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like... If we're calling him far right, extremist, and a populist, and even a libertarian, it's like, okay, well, especially if he's not saying that he's those things, it's like, I don't care what he is. I don't care. I don't even know what a populist is. I don't care.
But he doesn't call himself an ANCAP, and an ANCAP is not far right.
No, it's not.
It's outside of it. It's like a sigma male, not an alpha or beta male.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a different thing, but people can't wrap their head. They can only understand left and right, and they can't wrap their head. They're like, oh, well, if you're not left and you're not right, then what are you? They can't wrap their head around it. So, to me, like, I don't even care what a populist is. I want to hear what this guy actually has to say. But a lot of these news, you know, a lot of the media that's reporting on him, they don't want to tell you what he has to say.
They either show nothing, no quotes of his while they're talking about him, or they'll show a quote of his that just is out of context and makes him look crazy.
Yeah, just completely, like, irrelevant things.
And he is, like, purposely outlandish. Definitely, I'll say that.
Yeah.
But how else is he going to get his name out there? Like, they're going to talk about him for something. They're going to talk about his crazy hair, which I'm pretty sure he does on purpose. Like, I think that it's not just like...
Either that or he doesn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I heard something about him wanting to make his image sort of like this old, like, famous in Argentina, I don't know, politician that he admires. Maybe not even politician, but, like, revolutionary type guy.
Yeah.
Like, you would know who he was if you lived in Argentina, and he purposely makes his style kind of look like him. So, I mean, it's obviously his normal hair, but also it's, like, styled in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like, to look really big and 80s-ish. A lot of people say he looks like a werewolf. I think he looks like, you know, like a werewolf, teen wolf kind of thing.
To me, it just looks like messy hair. Like, he just doesn't care. I don't know.
Definitely messy.
Yeah.
But, I feel like he's going for a certain look, and if we knew who that politician was, we might be like, oh,
like the guy from Ancient Aliens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like
that.
It's like, whoa, you look at that guy and you're like, wow.
Looks like he got electrocuted.
Yeah.
So it went over a few pictures of people who dressed up at a campaign event for Javier Milei. And then it said that he even dabbled in cosplay, and 4 years ago, he dressed up as General ANCAP, as like a cosplay. It says, just as his candidacy started as made-for-television spectacle, his followers picked up the baton and have often turned rallies into opportunities to show their devotion to their candidate using props that go viral on social media. And I guess I know what they're saying more here now. They said his candidacy started as a made-for-television spectacle, as in, like, he's trying to get attention, possibly doing things that were purposely outlandish.
Yeah.
At first, I thought they were saying, like, oh, he wasn't really trying to win.
He was just joking.
Yeah, but
I think of, like, Jeremy Kaufman's, like, campaign videos.
Which is more actually like that.
Yeah.
It says shortly after he first appeared, and for those that don't know...
Yeah, I probably did that. That was kind of just, like, random out of context.
Well, I think I kind of cut you off. So, those that don't know, Jeremy Kaufman ran for Senate in New Hampshire, and he made campaign videos such as War is Gay.
Yeah, I think it was War is Gay. And then they were really funny. There was one, the global warming one was absolutely hysterical.
Was it
like,
global warming is retarded?
Yes.
I think it was retarded,
things that are, like, offensive, but, like, really, really funny. It's just, like...
It was really funny.
Yeah. No, it was good. I really enjoyed them.
The War was Gay one was the best one.
Yeah.
And then he did a pro-abortion and an anti-abortion one.
Yeah, and then there was the border one. Like, we need to close the border. So he's, like, talking about the border.
To math.
But then he's talking about Massachusetts. Because everybody, it's good.
Ugh, I started saying mass. I never thought I would. I just felt like, why would
it's
I say...
It's a long word. It's a long word.
I wouldn't say miss instead of Mississippi, right?
Yeah.
You always say Mississippi.
Because Mississippi has a better flow to it, you know what I mean?
Hmm.
Massachusetts, well, I guess Massachusetts does too.
It's kind of like a similar flow, so I just thought I never would, but I started doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know why I would do that and not do miss for miss. I mean, I know they say like Ole Miss, but... People don't like it.
Yeah, people don't use that in conversation, but yeah.
Okay, anyways.
Bonnie's a local now.
Back to the article. Yeah, I'm from Keene, New Hampshire. I honestly just, like, I say I'm from anywhere I've lived, and, like, no one ever questions it.
Yeah.
And one day, if you hear me talking enough, I'm, like, from everywhere that I've lived. Shortly after he first appeared on television, the self-described libertarian grew a cult-like following among those drawn to his no-nonsense style. His appeal seems to lie in his ability to channel anger that Argentines feel against the ruling class amid red-hot triple-digit inflation and rising poverty. And then it shows a picture of a guy. He looks cool, and he's holding up a giant $100 bill that says, like, the United States of America on it. Like, it looks exactly like a $100 bill, but it's huge. And instead of Benjamin Franklin, is that his name? It has Javier Milei's face. Like, that's a really high quality, nice.
Yeah. He really went all out for that
poster that someone made.
It's even one of the new ones with that not barcode, but the blue stripe, so you can't counterfeit them.
Right, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
No,
that was good.
Really
that's
nice.
Dedication.
That's really nice. And then the guy holding it looks really, really happy and cool. Says, Augustine, Salem holds an oversized U.S. dollar bill with the face of presidential hopeful Javier Milei at a campaign rally in Buenos Aires, Argentina. It's just so fun to say like that. Once seen as a sideshow in Argentine politics, Milei managed to parlay his success as a talking head into a seat in the Chamber of Deputies, Argentina's lower house of Congress, in 2021. He then launched what looked like a long-shot presidential bid, but rocked Argentina's political establishment when he received the most votes in the country's August primaries, a national contest seen as a massive poll of voter preferences. That was just August, like this year?
Yeah. It did happen recently.
It feels like it's been, like, 6 months at least. That's so weird.
No, that was recently, yeah.
That's so weird. I feel like we've been talking about this guy for a long time.
We've been talking about him for longer than that, but that was when the primary was, right? That's what they said?
Said it was in August.
Yeah.
That seems so shocking to me. Like, I felt like it was, like, April, but I'm just, I guess, messed up time-wise.
No, yeah, I think, yeah, that tracks pretty well for me that it was probably in August, but we had been talking about him at least since April.
I guess what
like, we've been talking about him for a while.
I guess when I think about August, it does feel further back in time when I think about it. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. So, it says, Milei was predicted to have an edge for the October vote, but finished second with 30% of the vote, almost 7 points below Economy Minister Sergio Massa. Milei and Massa are facing off in the November 19th runoff, and pre-election polls show a virtual tie with a large number of undecideds who will be key in deciding the race. Often called Argentina's Donald Trump, yeah, by you guys.
No one else is saying that.
Yeah, like, his supporters are probably not saying that, like, the majority
of them. No, I doubt they are. I mean, maybe they are. I mean, who knows? But I doubt it.
Milei espouses a mixture of love for the ideals of capitalism with socially conservative policies, including an opposition to abortion, which Argentina legalized in 2020. Wow, they just legalized that. And it does show a lady wearing a hat that's not red, but it says, Make Argentina Great Again. And it says...
So maybe they are.
Or maybe she's a PSYOPs actress.
Could be.
Just kidding. It says, Michaela Gonzalez, a supporter of presidential hopeful Javier Milei, smiles for a photo outside his campaign headquarters. And it's like the same caption as all those other ones after that. But then again, it's like they're very carefully choosing who they take pictures of. She doesn't have to be an actress. There's probably a lot of people out there because he's been, like, filling stadiums and stuff. He's, like, Ron Paul level.
Yeah.
Many of his followers have embraced the Trump comparison. Make Argentina Great Again hats and T-shirts are a common sight at his events, a reference to Trump's slogan, Make America Great Again. That's hardly the only U.S.-inspired reference. The yellow Gadsden flag with a rattlesnake and the words Don't Tread on Me is a historical U.S. symbol often associated with the libertarian right. Whoa, they got that right a little bit. Like,
I know. Don't they mean far right extremist terrorists?
Yeah. It says it's often associated with the libertarian right. And I feel like any libertarian could be into it, but yeah, I would totally concede that it's maybe more of a right-leaning libertarian.
Yeah, thing. Like more, I don't even want to say conservative, but like more,
I mean, it's more like, abortion, but also doesn't think
I feel like Don't Tread on Me is just like, I like guns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like.
I like it. I had a shirt that said it, but it got old. I just think that you're more likely to use it if you're more right-wing.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
There's definitely left-wing and right-wing libertarians, but for the most part, the right-winger ones, they take it so far that they're not libertarian anymore. But anyways, and when it just comes to, like, preferences, like, I don't want to live in a society where I can't tell a man from a woman, but I'm not going to use the government against you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not unlibertarian, but when you start saying, like, I'm going to use the government against you if you bring your children to a drag show, that's not libertarian anymore.
No.
It says some followers also use props to mimic the chainsaw that Milei has often held up at rallies to symbolize what he wants to do to state spending, which is hilarious. And I'm glad they actually explained it here because sometimes they just talk about the chainsaw and don't explain it. So I didn't know at first why he holds the chainsaw. Like, I don't speak Spanish. So I
can
look up a video and hear him talking about
it. We need Ian to translate for us.
Oh, yeah. Ian is really learning Spanish, like, rapidly in jail. He has a podcast for it, and he found a English-to-Spanish dictionary, and he's always, like, calling me and talking in Spanish. And I'm like, I already can't barely understand you on this jail phone, so please. It says... I didn't get involved politically at all in the past, said Martin Arganaraz, a 47-year-old artisan who carried a chainsaw made out of cardboard at a recent Milei rally in Buenos Aires. What brought me here is seeing how politicians are getting richer and richer. And, you know, that's a great quote. They didn't seem to choose someone that made him look terrible there. It's a great quote because it's like, you don't have to be someone whose passion is politics and, you know, arguing online about politics. you just have to be a normal person in Argentina to see how politics are affecting you and enriching the people who are the parasite class, as Milei calls it. So some of Milei's loyalists dress up as him, which is hilarious. I want to see that.
I love that.
While others don lion masks, because the candidate often compares himself to the king of the jungle. Okay, I didn't know why.
And this makes sense. Like, there's context, yeah. And honestly, like, I want to say, whenever people, like Ron, I'm thinking of Ron Paul, like, whenever people are rooting for a candidate that hard, like, you have to kind of question. It's like, yeah, either maybe this guy's onto something, because these people are, like, literally obsessed with him, or is it just... Because I think, you know, it was like kind of like that with Donald Trump as well. It seems like these Argentinians are more creative than Trump supporters. Because I don't know, people are still going hard for Donald Trump, but they're not really that creative. Like, I've seen, they'll take like the Trump signs, and I've seen somebody like create a fence in their front yard just with like Trump sign, Trump sign, Trump sign, Trump sign, and it's like, okay, like... you know what I mean? Like, they're really going hard for him and they're obsessed with him, but they're not very creative about it. These people are like...
This seems fun, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, so they're dressing up in costumes and they're like, create that dollar bill thing or the $100 bill thing. Like, that was super creative and you knew it took time and, like, that was...
Really expensive.
Yeah, like, that was more... I don't know, just way more creative than, like, it's wearing a hat and, like, having a Trump sign in your yard.
I think I know exactly why. I think it's because Trump kind of gave you, I'm better than Hillary, but this guy is giving people something they really believe in. Something
real, yeah.
Like, his ideas
seem,
you know, more real, like you said. It says, some of them dress up as him, and others dress up as... The lion, because he's the king of the jungle. I already said that. I don't really get why he calls himself that. Like, I would love to know why.
I get, like, lions, not sheep, stuff like that. Like, that, it kind of makes sense to me.
Oh, like, he wants to eat all the sheep who are the parasite class? I'm just guessing at this point, so. But it is a call-in talk radio show, so I'm going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Yes, question. Yeah, what do you do with those guests that overstay their welcome?
Jeez.
And they want to keep, like, staying there and you're trying to get rid of them? How do you get rid of them? And
are you talking about, like,
a really
in...
special guest? And what do you do?
At your house?
At your house?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
I definitely like to give people a hint multiple times when I am ready for them to leave, like... Yeah, I really need to start getting ready for bed. I really need to start doing X. Like, I really need to start cleaning my bathroom. That's what I was going to do. Just...
Yeah. It's tough because...
I'm not talking about those, overnight guests. They'll say, I just need 3 nights to stay. And next thing you know, they need another week.
Yeah.
And then after that, like, they pretty much want to, like, move in. What do you do?
So, I think with that, I think really clear and direct communication is the best way. Because sometimes it can be really uncomfortable. Like, you try to drop hints. And most people can pick up on those social cues.
Some people
like,
can't.
I've kind of overstayed my welcome, you know, like I better get going. But some people cannot pick up on those social cues, or if they're really down and out and they don't really have anywhere to go and they're nice and comfortable in your house, they probably will
purposely
just ignore. Like they'll purposely ignore it and be like, well, you know, she seems like she wants me to go, but I mean, I don't really, whatever.
Sarah.
So I think like clear and direct communication, like, hey, you know, like I was okay with this for a certain amount of time, but, you know, because of these reasons or whatever, like, I just need you, like, this was the amount of time that I was able to host you in my home, and now I'm not able to do that anymore.
Yeah, just tell the person, we need to talk, and then go and talk to them. Try to stay nice. Don't be mean or get angry or anything like that, because that will just put you on the offensive and tell them, listen, this is how I'm feeling. I really am ready for you to get going, and I wish you the best. You know, keep it nice, but be very clear, like Nikki says.
You know, I think this backfires because we have this guest that we let them sleep in. We let them eat their food. I mean, we went all over, bend over and backwards, like treating them like a really special honor guest. And now we got a monster on our hands. I mean, like, they want to move in. I can't get rid of them now.
And I think that happens sometimes, like when, you know, if you're a very gracious host, because you're just trying to be nice, right? Like if you have a friend that's like, oh, I, you know, I'm down and out. I need to stay for a few days or a week. You know, you want to be like, if you have, you know, family stay over overnight or something, like you want to be accommodating, you know, you're going to feed them. If you have any friend over, like you're going to, you know, you're going to want to host them, right? But if somebody is not used to that sort of treatment, they might get like a little too comfortable. And it's like, you know, why would I go out on my own and like fend for myself if these people are going to feed me?
I was going to bring up, get Richard with you when you have a conversation with him, because maybe like a lot of men, like just they're not going to listen to a woman and they'll listen to a man. But it seems like Sarah's saying he's not listening to Richard either.
You know something? The problem is, if they're not my friend, that's Richard's friend. And Richard is having a problem with this lady. Whatever he tells her, she ignores him.
She's the one that won't leave? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said it was a man that wouldn't leave. Oh, no. So it's just his girlfriend.
But she brought her boyfriend with her.
Oh, no.
Wait, what? He has a girlfriend that has a boyfriend?
So you guys have already tried to be like, hey, like, you've already tried to have the conversation?
Right. They went from, I just need a night, went to the three nights, and after the three nights, so we gave it till next Tuesday. We already told them that that's all we could accommodate you. But she's going to come up with a sob story and try to stay for more couple of nights, this and that.
Do you have any friend maybe that lives in your area that's maybe like a large man that can go and kind of intimidate them? Like, come on, guys, it's time to go. You're getting out of Santa's house. At some point you've got to.
Well, and that's the thing too, because I was going to say, like, you know, that might be like a last resort, but it's like, yeah, it kind of does need to escalate a little bit where you're like a little bit more firm and maybe even a little bit more aggressive where it's like, listen, you know, we've been more than like, this is our home. Like, we cannot accommodate you anymore.
Do you have any more to say about it, Sarah?
You know what? I got conned into this job.
Sorry, we're going to go into the break. But if you have more to say, more coming up. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.